Welcome back, Get a Grip on Lighting. That's right, we're back, and we have a very special guest today. Not only is he the lighting industry's southern gentleman, but he also happens to be the vice president of Professional Lighting and Supply Incorporated. I believe it's in South Carolina. He's going to correct me in a second if I'm wrong. But also a former and a past president of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, one of our favorite people, Sid Phillips, is on Get a Grip on Lighting today, and we're very excited to have him here. But before we go, Greg, we need to find out, before we get into this thing, we need to find out who's sponsoring this show, because I don't have a sheet. Who is it, Greg Eric?
It's Lighty Fish and Design, of course.
LED-LLC.com. That's right, Light Efficient Design. What's going on with them these
And
days?
well, I'll tell you, but I'm going to clear one thing up just to make it easy for Sid. It's North Carolina, man, not
Oh,
South. There's a
okay.
difference, all right? So back to Lighty Fish and Design. The LBI fixture we've talked about in the past for them. Now they have the LBI Max. Now it's a 2 foot and 4 foot linear strip fixture with a lens. It's linkable. Kelvin changeable, is that what we're calling it? Wattage and color selectable, that's the right term. Flex watt, flex color is what they use. And it has a built-in occupancy sensor that actually hides behind the lens, which I really like. A lot of those clunky things on the end don't look good. This sensor is inside of the fixture behind the lens, and it's perfect for a lot of applications. I use it in a stairwell because it has emergency battery backup. Perfect application for it, along with just about everything. So check out the LBI Max.
You know, Light Efficient Design, always underestimated. They're a very innovative company, man. And I think they innovate very quickly. They're always first on the green with stuff. So go to LED-LLC.com. And of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. We're going to get it down in September. That's right. We're all getting together in Dallas. And we're going to go check out the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. And we're going to learn all sorts of stuff about lighting. And if you're a lighting distributor, get in here. And I know Sid Phillips will agree with that. Sid, welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
Good day.
Good day.
What do you plan to grill me on?
I don't know. We'll see.
We're gonna get into everything with you, Sid. Now let's just start with your background a little. You've been in lighting for a while. Give us what that breakdown looks like. How long? What do you do?
Since 1985. We started, I think Becky says February 1st, 1985.
And Becky
That
being
was
for the
back when,
listeners.
pardon me?
Becky for the listeners, why don't you tell us who that is?
Oh, well, Becky is my partner and my wife and the brains. Becky Phillips, hell of a woman. And in any case, she got suckered into pursuing this occupation that we've now been doing since then. Geez, I've forgotten how many years, 38, 39, something like that. In any case, we haven't killed each other. Good thing.
Nope.
All our kids have grown, and some of them have children, and they don't want to have anything to do with this business. There was too many Saturdays at the warehouse with mom and dad working. And that pretty much put an end to all that. There was no interest. My son did dabble with us for about 6 or 7 years, and then he chased after his love, who went to Colorado, and he's actually back in town now. So we're happy that all our kids and grandchildren are now back here in North Carolina, in Greensboro. So it's pretty amazing.
Greensboro, North Carolina. So
Yeah.
did you guys start your company then, or did you work for another lighting company before it became yours?
I was a rep agent working for a company out of Cleveland, Ohio, that had an office in Cincinnati and then my home office in Louisville originally. One of the guys that was working out of Cincinnati went to work for Tom Grody and started Bright Light Lighting in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he was working for the same rep agency. And when he left, they had me move to Cincinnati and take on the accounts I had plus the accounts that he had. And that was accounts in Southern Ohio, the rest of Kentucky that I wasn't covering, It was interesting. That was back when you used maps to find where some of these places are. And I learned real early on that if you're traveling in the back sticks of Kentucky, better to stop and ask for directions than to count on the map and count on your instincts. You could kill a lot of time trying to find something. And I didn't uphold the male approach to that and just endeavor to find it on my own. I got tired of wasting time. So I'm a real lover of this any of these map apps that get you where you're going quicker and easier.
So you're
So I
liking the
did.
efficiency of the new.
Yeah. So, this was back when they didn't even know what an LED was, except for the maybe the stuff in your. They might have had those in the cars at that time. Running all the background stuff in your dash. But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot of LEDs that anybody was exposed to. And man, that's all we have now, and it's great. I'm a big believer in it. Big believer in just doing the right things to make everybody's life better. Yeah, but there are a lot of pitfalls that come with having to deal with all these new, innovative light sources or drivers or dimmers. I mean, it's a colossal mess if you don't do your homework or you don't check things out before you just stick it in. You guys, you've made a program out of all that.
Yeah, we sure have. Sid, I would say that in the past, the lighting industry made things intentionally complicated, in order to, the manufacturers, not the distributors, and the distributors kind of interpreted that to the clients, right? And hey, that GEF32 SPX35K is actually the same as this, Philips F32 T8 Super T whatever, right? We would translate that knowledge. But I find the lighting industry now is probably a little bit more complex than anybody would want it to be. Do you agree with that?
Yes and no. And where I'm saying that is it is yes when you get into certain aspects where you need the technical knowledge of what you're getting ready to get into. But one of the areas that probably was more complicated, that is beginning to become less complicated, is control. And it's because of apps. And it's because you don't need to know how that happens. You just need to have some logical approach to how you're going to make it communicate and work and use the app. And I mean, there's several projects we've done in the last few years where we're using a particular dimming company's product. And I've actually coached the people that are getting ready to get this on their own phone, on the app, through the process of how they can make the lights work and how they can go about making the changes. And now you don't need to pay somebody to come in to do those kind of things when you decide, hey, I'd really like this group of lights to have this or not have that. And you got to bring somebody in, and it doesn't take an expert. You guys, you've got kids that if they're into computers or phones, and who isn't? They're going to be able to run circles around all of us using these kind of things if they're not already. So
No,
it's
you're
just
right.
going to apt. It's moving in that direction in a big way. It's going to be a
Yeah,
blast.
so we're having a blast trying to figure it all out as we go sometimes. But speaking of figuring things out, looking back at when you started, how did you learn lighting? What was the training program like back then? Was there one?
There was kind of some of the manufacturers would have literature that if you looked it over, marketing pieces. If you looked it over, there was a, you could glean information on how to understand what was going on. You know, most of the stuff is I've self-taught myself most of what I know. And there's some advantages to that. I mean, Michael was talking about other manufacturers do certain things and you like scratching your head. You know, I got a dental customer that we did their offices back in 2007, and we've got Peerless Indirect T5 6 lamp 8-foot indirect fixtures. So he's now getting them converted to LED. We're doing tubes on it. But the thing that I you know, and I'm a hands-on guy. I'll go out with whoever's going to be doing it and be there and work on, okay, how are we going to do this? And the one thing that I noticed was there's no way that engineer that designed that fixture ever touched it other than putting it in the box at the end. They saw that it worked. They didn't look to it from a practical standpoint. The number of wires you've got in one of those things and the cavity that they left for those to fit in. I mean, as you're taking some of these things apart to bypass the ballast and get rid of the ballast, the wires are literally, they're melted. The insulation on the wires kind of melted to the belly plate or the object that's separating it from the outside part of the luminaire. It's like, you know, it's like you ever get some kind of object you've ordered and you decide, hey, I don't like this, I'm going to send it back, and you try to get it back in the box and it's like
right.
Impossible.
Yeah. Well,
this fixture falls into that category. And a lot of stuff that was made and is still made can fall into those categories where they need to mess with these things from the perspective of what do you do when you need to do something to it and how difficult is it to do?
Right. And that's, you know, that I mean, you can't beat the hands-on real world seeing it too, because a lot of times, you know, you hear it from, like in our case, we hear it an electrician saying, hey, you know, they did this and that. Like, oh, yeah, let me try to recommunicate that to him in pictures, and doesn't do it justice. You need to be in the field, real world experience to see it. And then to your point, Sid, you're doing that.
A little thing today, our Kiwanis group meets at the local Mimi's, okay, which is a chain, mainly breakfast, lunch place. They do have dinner, but they'd like to get more involved with their dinner work. But in any case, they've got some RLM luminaires, pendants, and so the guy used to use silver bowls in them. Well, you can find some of those. Satco's got some. But I did call my regional guy and tell him, you know, it really did a good job. It can't do the job unless you use an extender to really get good light out. But the problem is that lamp you're making, it's silver bowl and then it's clear above that. So where you can sit to where you see the LED filament that's in that clear part, it needs to be frosted. You know, the lamp would be significantly improved with that being frosted instead of clear. And when I left, I said, the customer was happy, but I wasn't. And I said, you guys really need to see about making this frosted. Put that on your list to pass on to your peeps, because you make a marked improvement. I'm constantly calling people to let them, you know, if you see something's wrong, at least try to get it fixed.
There isn't enough distributors and contractors in product design. Like if I was a manufacturer, man, I would totally seek out Sid Phillips and say, okay, bud, what do you think of this one?
Yeah.
What do you think of that
one? I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm good at kicking the cans. I've actually been, over the years, been involved in several things. I think that Juno at Light Fair one year was looking at doing the Ethernet type stuff, but they didn't tell us what it was. They were just they brought a group of people together and say, "Hey, what do you think if this is probably 15 years ago?" And so they were looking at that using that low voltage power, putting it in the room, you know, having the ability to possibly make the plenum much smaller. And in so doing, you know, a lot of the reasons why, you know, people ought to look at those systems, because if you can get the HVAC to work in a smaller plenum, you can save a lot of money on a building that's 20 or 30 stories high. You know, how much structure are you taking out of that if you've got that many floors that you take 12 inches for each floor? I mean, that's got to be a lot of money. So, been involved in things like that. You know, you guys have probably been to some of the factories, and they're giving you a buzz through on, oh, here's our latest and greatest. And sometimes they didn't like having me there.
You know what the other, you know what the, you know what
I'm like a Michael sometimes.
He learned it all from you, Sid.
Yeah, come on, Sid. But listen, you know, I've often, one of the things that I didn't like from Nailed when I first joined was that there was often this dynamic where the distributors would look to manufacturers for knowledge. And I always felt like the other distributors knew more than any of the manufacturers. Like when the manufacturer's up there presenting, I thought it should have been one of the Nailed members presenting their products. I'm not even talking about like some of the distributors who know more.
Oh, you're dead right on that. Michael, yeah. I found you to be wrong a lot of times. And okay. Nobody's there to correct you because Greg's too nice. But you were absolutely right. You know, we got the Randys that they're just unbelievable people. You're right. We probably should have implemented things like that in the past. That, you know, I think a lot of the people that could have done that, you know, you don't really know what their talents are specifically to like glean and pull that out of them. I mean, it's almost like if you had a Zoom meeting with a smaller group and said, "Hey, you know, let's toss around some ideas. Let's consider, you know, here's a topic that really needs to be beat up, spit out, and come up with some way of making it so people really understand what's going on."
Well, Brian Huff did that with the sustainability committee. I thought that his letter and Brian Amundsen's Dark Sky letters, I think that's where distributors sat down and really knocked heads together and put out stuff to the industry that was super valuable. But here, I'll tell you, I think I know why this happens. And it's interesting. You know, I've been asked on many occasions to give my ideas about podcast creation to people, like how to create a podcast or what you should do and all that sort of stuff. And I have no idea how to do this. And basically the people are asking to pay me to talk to them. Like, I'll give you money just to talk to you. And I think most lighting distributors are like me, that they're uncomfortable with that. It's like, I've always talked for free and then I sell you something like a piece of light fixtures or light bulbs. And, you know, I've always sat in the class. I've never been the person teaching the class. It's never felt right to me. And I think most Nailed distributors kind of fall into that camp where they don't realize the pile of knowledge they've accumulated over the decades they've been in the industry, and that most people probably know a lot less than them about lighting, how light fixtures should even be designed, for example, or, you know, how they should be packaged, or, Where the how whether the bulb should be frosted on the base at the on the neck of it, or all these little things that are just obvious to you, but you don't we don't see that information on its own as valuable. And that's what Greg and I have been trying to convince the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors of with these committees, is that listen, you guys need to consolidate around what the message is from smart lighting people in the field and tell the world about it, because they need that information, Sid. I'm not kidding you. They
Oh,
need the knowledge.
yeah. There's a lot of opportunity there. There's a lot of, people are only as good as what they get the opportunity to do. And I think you're on to, we've got people that have got a lot of experience. I don't know whether you experience this in your all's businesses, but for years, most of the reps that they wouldn't come in, and unless we forced them, they wouldn't come in and try to teach us. They wouldn't, Now I did have one rep. He made it a point whenever he had a new product, he brought it to our place. And he did that because he knew that he was going to learn more about that product in the 25 or 30 minutes that we sat there,
For sure.
both the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that way he could go to his other customers, and he would be able to ascertain their questions and concerns, and also bring things up to them about stuff that he had learned just from getting the can kicked from coming into professional lighting, and the people that are there sitting around the table going, "Well, yeah, that's really nice. Now let's, and I mean, I'm bringing out screwdrivers and starting to open stuff up, and I'm kicking the can in a big way." And they're like, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I want to see what you got here. I want to, it's kind of like one of the questions that came up about LED lighting, the product you were advertising that's got the sensor on the inside. Does that sensor compromise the light coming out in that location?"
No, it's like invisible. It's like behind it, so it doesn't affect where the
It's
chips
behind
are
the LED, so
themselves.
is it
Yeah.
microphonics or
Microwave.
Microwave. Microwave sensor.
microwave? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was the first thought that came to me is where are they putting that thing that it's not obscuring the light? And then, is as far as setting that aux sensor up, you is there dipsticks on the back, or is there
This one is app based, I believe. Or it comes preset, but then you can control it a few different ways. But it's interesting that you say that, because that's the exact thing that a real lighting person thinks. Other people just say, "Oh, it has a sensor, cool, let's do it." But you're actually thinking about, okay,
Well, I'm also
let me
sitting
think
there
about
thinking
that.
that if you're the facility person and you don't remember who the manufacturer is of that new stairwell light, and that light is falsely coming on or it's not coming on, and you don't have the app and don't remember how to get to the app or don't know anything about it, is there something on the back of that fixture, or is there something on the top side of it? Is there some way to, commission it after the fact without that app?
I think I'm looking more, and there's actually a remote control available too. But on the fixture themselves, they have their branding, so you'd hope that that does it. Maybe a sticker inside with contact info.
Well,
If not, we just.
what would really be good is for them to put that sticker that's the one that I forget what you call them, the little squares that you take your phone and you beam it on and you get the instructions, the manual come
QR
right
code.
up.
QR code, yeah.
Yeah, QR code, exactly.
Put it right on
That
the
would be,
fixture. Does anybody do that?
yeah.
Is anybody? Have you seen that?
I haven't, but it seems like a good idea.
It's a great idea. Everybody should do that.
Absolutely,
No more
everyone should do
emailing
that.
stuff. You just say
Oh,
it's right on the
gosh.
fixture.
There you go. It's interesting, and I was at a call, sales call this morning, because folks, when I'm done here, this doesn't pay the bills, guys. I got to go sell light bulbs.
Yeah.
So, when I was at a church, and they were asking me about these different things, and then I left, and I was saying bye to the guy, and he said to me, he's a Korean guy, he said, "I really feel so much better now." That's exactly what he said, and I didn't sell him anything. I had sold him I brought it with me, delivered it for the sales call. I had sold him 12 FXL projector lamps because he was asking, why is my stage so dim? I said, well, all your projector lights are out. We could start by, you know, changing the bulbs in your projector lights and seeing where you're at. And then we were talking about his altar and this other stuff. But I think that there is something that can't be taught in schools and that can't be taught at the manufacturer rep level. And that is the moment of truth between the end user customer and the product and the distributor. And where you're talking to them about the products they're going to use, and they're asking for your advice, they're asking for your knowledge, and they want your knowledge and they want your advice. And I think there's something with product-based, especially like a lighting or an HVAC play, where understanding of the product almost outweighs engineering knowledge or, you know, a technical standards knowledge from the IES or these other areas where you're actually talking about the product the person wants to buy and how it's going to work for them and whether they can maintain it and these sorts of stuff. And that can only be developed through years in the industry. There's no other way, because you start seeing the same things over and over again and they start to become recognizable to you. And sit in, you know, 4 decades in lighting, you've seen it all, bud. And I think that, you know, I wish we could figure out a way with this LS2 thing we're trying to create, Greg, to teach that product savvy, you know, at that way that you're when you're dealing with the customer. So there's my thoughts in.
I don't know if you can. I mean, can you teach it, or is it just learned, Sid, by having being in the field, by seeing it over and over?
You know, I think it's like experiences that any one of the three of us have had over the years. Is, you know, like I brought up things that just happened recently. There's a lot of stuff that's probably happened in the last 5 years that, you know, if I can recall them, those are opportunities. And sometimes those kinds of things will come up where somebody's talking about something. It's like, oh, yeah, I dealt with that. And this is what you need to look at doing. The dimming of LED has been just a plethora of big holes that you fall into, abyss that you know, like, and I mean, a perfect example is that, you know, we really take our time where we were converting people. You know, most of the stuff is starting to be new, based on tested product with the new, less problems, as not like what you ran into 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was scared as all get out to say, hey, yeah, we'll dim these, we'll do this. And I'm not impulsive. So I'm like, you hear that, Michael? I'm not impulsive. It's like, okay, we got to take the time. And I would tell the customers, I said, you know, we're going to bring units in. We're going to test it on, you know, as an example, you got a hotel that's got a very expensive lighting control system. And they don't want to part with that. And they don't want to spend money to buy a new one. Mm-hmm. So you got a quandary there. Mm-hmm. All of their modules were designed around 40 watt minimum load.
Sure.
So how are you going to overcome that? What are you going to do to overcome
that?
You're
going to slip in a halogen bulb every 10 bulbs or something like that.
Well,
sometimes.
You know, sometimes you would do that for an interim fix, mm-hmm. but you got to end up getting the real fix. And as an example, we had one of these locations, we did the testing, they employed the products, everything's working beautiful. 18 months later, the light source that's being used, that's an LED, has started to depreciate. Mm. And the owners are tweaking their dimming system. And all of a sudden, it's not working. Hmm. So then you got a real big problem because you've gotten this conversion. So, I mean, we messed around with changing out the lamps, Sometimes it was a matter of if it was like some of these electronic track modules for track heads.
Yeah.
We changed the electronic track module for the track head to fit into. Mm. Sometimes that would fix it. Finally, the track people have started coming out with the track module with it being LED rated for low wattage. And that really started fixing the problem. But
you know what I'm hearing from Sid, and Greg, back me up, is that his customers aren't buying he's not a manufacturer's rep. They're buying trust. They're paying. They want to deal with Sid Phillips because he thinks it through. And I feel like you and I are trying to do the same thing, where it's, you know, where our customers are, you know, we they're an extension of who we are. And we don't want to put up with it. We're not going to put up any barriers to entry with respect to problems down the road. We kind of feel a sense of responsibility over the customer's lighting system after they purchase it from us, that it be maintainable at a reasonable price and that we can overcome problems when they arise. And, you know, that's what I feel, that's all Nailed members are, seem to be like that, this independent lighting distributor thing where, you know, we are staked in your system for a long time because we're planning to sell you the supplies when that time comes, and we're responsible for that, Sid.
Yeah, I do think that there's a lot of customers that if they've dealt with people that know their stuff, and it doesn't matter whether they're an electrical distributor or a specialty lighting distributor, they get comfortable with being able to get good information, solutions, basically. Mm-hmm. They get it working. A lot of times they don't really care how you got it to work. They're just happy that it's working. We don't have, you know, bad things happening on the lighting system. Mm.
What year do you recall what year you joined Nailed?
1989, I think. 88 or 89. I either joined the Kiwanis Group in 88 and Nailed in 89, or opposite way.
So you've seen the organization transition over, what, 30 years plus?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's like night and day. You know, it's a great organization. I wish we could get, and I think you guys have done a pretty good job of getting some new blood, which is great. But we got a society of younger people that don't want to join anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know whether you agree with that or not, but I'm guessing you do.
Totally. We've had discussions about this, and I mean, I don't know how you change that mindset or if it's changeable.
So here's what there's a lot of external factors that are involved in that. One of them is the recruiting problem. So I never had a recruiter call me in my life. And I was arguing with someone the other day, and I'm not against recruiters specifically. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I think when it's starting to distill down to the order desk, where an order desk person is being recruited from one company and moved across the street to the other company for a $10,000 raise or something like that, it's starting to get a little bit ridiculous. And I was having a conversation, and I said, you know, what if there were people going around calling married people and telling them, hey, you know what, I don't think you've done so good. Maybe you should. I got some other choices that you should have made, you know? And it, like, in a way, like, you're disrupting people's careers. And, you know, you're getting in their ears and you're talking to them about how they're underpaid and how much better it is six doors down at the other. And then you look at these resumes and you have a guy that's worked at six lighting companies in 10 years. And it's kind of, you can't even sink your teeth into this industry in a company without being there for at least 2 years. And so I would tell the younger generation that, you know, joining an organization like Nailed, going to Light Fair, and that's how I'm only 45, but that's how we found what was on the other side of the green. And then we tried to make our own companies better. We didn't switch companies. You know, we were on this team and we worked together as a team. And that doesn't mean you should never switch your job or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that instead of going to Light Fair, instead of joining Nailed and attending the convention and meeting colleagues and engaging in dialogue and having that little bit of a competitive edge with people and then taking that back and making your own team better, they switch teams.
Yeah. Well, I hear what you're saying, and I'm a big believer in attending conventions. I learned a lot of what I know from doing that. You know, some of the best things you know, it's kind of like there'd be things that I would go to Light Fair with a list. I need to find this to resolve this problem mm-hmm. for this customer. Yep. I need this.
Yep.
And I'd be scouring who was going to be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking and determining these are companies that I got to see because they can resolve a problem and basically make me look like I'm helping my customer.
Sure.
And I am. That's the whole deal. The other thing that's great about those kind of things is that you can get information taught to you by the experts. I know you've had Benya was a mentor to me. He might not have known it, but he was. Great man, very smart, excellent teacher. I mean, a really, really good teacher. And he also did things in the field and learned from them. And a lot of the stuff that he learned, he found out didn't work. And then he would teach you, hey, I did this. You don't want to do this. It doesn't work that way. And there isn't any better way to learn from somebody when they give you information and they're fair about telling you what works because I did it in the field, or what doesn't work. And mm-hmm. it just makes you appreciate when you go out there, you start looking at these kind of things. We're people in our business, we're tinkerers. So we enjoy making sure stuff is working right. And if it's not, what are we going to do so that we can overcome the problem that's now been created?
The other thing the show did for me, like going to Nailed, also provided like a certain amount of reassurance that I was on the right track with things and the way that I was doing business and the way I was, you know, engaging with customers and what were the latest trends and what other people were doing in other markets. And I think that just to loop back and put a cap on that thing, the younger generation, instead of engaging the industry, is switching companies. You know,
well, they're also just trying to find it out on the internet. I hate to say it, there's a lot of good information out there, but is there any kind of certification or seal that the information you're now getting off the internet is correct?
And there's no savvy the internet.
If you know what you're doing, you can look at it and you can go, yeah, that's good information. But if you don't know what you're doing, which is what most people are doing, they don't know what they're doing, they're going out on the internet and they're assuming that whoever is putting this information out there knows what they're doing.
You can't pick up any savvy either on the internet. I'm sorry. And, you know, that's why one of the things Nailed's trying to start is live online training rather than video on demand. So people can actually, even if it's in a digital space, people can get together on a regular basis and be
well,
with
and if
colleagues.
You do that and you put those films in the library at Nailed, that would help justify people that aren't going to go to conventions. It gives them a reason that, hey, I can pull this up. I know it's from a reputable, you know, it's NAILD. These people know their stuff. So you now have somebody that's an expert with other people going through the process, teaching you how this is done or that's done. And, you know, if you're looking for help in that, I'd be volunteering. Because I want everybody to be better in what they do. Hell, I probably learned something too. You know, you just gotta just get involved. The other thing that I was going to bring up that to me was important to the people that were members, let's say 20 years ago, is that you could get on the phone because you now met these people. You broke bread with them. You tried to beat them out of money on the golf course. You did entertainment things together with them. You had small talk with them. You now have confidence. You now have trust. You can now pick the phone up and not be concerned that they're not going to know who the heck you are. They've got the face. They know the person. You now have an opportunity to pick their brain about something that you got a problem with. And I haven't found any of the members that I'd called over the years not willing to give me 10 or 15 minutes of their time to help overcome and come up with a good solution.
Amen to that.
That's worth a lot of money.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
There's brands that we're not set up with, that we're doing a project and they're not going to deviate from the spec. And I've got everything on the plate except for this widget. I can go out to Nailed members and go, hey, can somebody help me out here? And they do it. Mm-hmm. And they don't gig you. They give you a decent deal to work from. And it makes it so you can compete in them on that project. Mm-hmm. That's helped out a bunch over the years. There's a lot of good things with this organization, and there's a lot of good things presently with the organization. It's just trying to get the companies that are so sure that they can get what they need off the internet to give us a shot, to give us some consideration. Yeah, I think if we get some of these things that are, online, you can learn about this or you can learn about that from people that are experts in the industry. And like you said, better than the factory people. There's many a time the factory people do not. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but, I had something that was going on. I called the guy. He's a good friend. I said, what about this? He gave me a response. I then found out it was BS. Okay. And his BS cost me some legitimacy. Mm-hmm. So I ate the crow and I said, let me do some more homework. We'll get this resolved and you'll be happy. But I do think that some of the factory people start to learn that, if you don't know it, you're better off telling somebody that's a Nailed member. You don't know, but you'll find out.
Yeah.
Or you'll get them in contact with one of their engineers that you can collaborate with and try and figure out if, you can get the problem resolved. And if not, maybe give them some ideas and give them a reason why they need to get it resolved. I think Greg ran into something here recently with one of the manufacturers on a new product. And, hearing that information, I've steered from using that product on that particular area until Greg goes, hey, they figured out what the problem is.
Yep.
It's good to go.
That's inside knowledge, right, folks, here on Get a Grip on Lighting. We got to talk about light efficient design, Greg Eric, LED-LLC.com. What do you got?
That's right. Yeah. So they're LBI max fixture, 2 foot, 4 foot configurations. They can connect together. Sid had some good questions on the sensoring. There's a remote control that can work with it. We're going to tell them to put one of those little QR codes on there, so we get the instructions and know what it is. But flex watt, flex color, they call it their super flex. Check it out.
Get yourself a super flex. And of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, NALD.org. We're hot in September with an in-person convention. We're back. We're getting together. We're talking it through, figuring everything out. And thanks to Sid Phillips. That's right. Well, aptly named company, because he's a professional lighting and supply incorporated. He is a lighting professional. But he's also a true gentleman. We thank him for coming on the show. And, of course, you the listener and the viewers out there, we always say we don't have viewers and listeners. We only have colleagues that don't do podcasts. Bye for now.